This is the Unstoppable Authors Podcast with world-building warrior Angeline Trevina
and planning and productivity powerhouse Holly Line.
Every week we bring you discussions on the craft of writing, author life and business, and interviews with some of the industry's most unstoppable authors.
A writer's life doesn't have to be solitary. We're here to bust that myth, support you on your journey, and encourage you to be unstoppable.
Welcome to episode 82 of the Unstoppable Authors Podcast. Today, as promised back in episode 79 on release strategy, we are talking in depth about pre-orders.
That's right. But before we get into the main topic, let's just do our personal updates. So, I was racking my brains a bit for what to say today, but Angeline gave me some nudges. So, I'm very excited to announce that we have now shipped all of the Indie Fire goodie bags. They're actually goodie boxes now. They are speeding their way around the country to the people who won those in our promotion that we had so long ago.
it was
Black Friday 2019?
Goodness, yes.
I think it was, wasn't it?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Blimey. That's like about 10 years ago.
Yeah. So thank you for your patience to everyone who got those goodie bags. You will get them very shortly. And so included in there are just some, you know, goodies to do with Indie Fire and for books of our guest authors and nice things like that. I got a nice little bit of post myself. Recently, I ordered some pins. I'm a huge pin fan. I'm a little bit obsessed. And I ordered some really cute ones from Jubbly Umph, who it's an Australian pin maker. Her name's Tasha. Her name is not Jubbly Umph. that would be weird. But yeah, the company name is Jubbly Umph. And they arrived and they are the cutest things. And they're just so awesome. And I'm like rotating them. I'm wearing a different one each day and they're adorable. So I'm loving those at the moment. And I've been reading, it's a book that I bought for my other half a little while ago and he read it and said it was hilarious and that I had to read it. And it sat on my TBR for about a year and I'm now reading it. And that's The Dark Lord Burt by Chris Fox. And it's hilarious. It's sort of lit RPG. Game lit type stuff, but it's like, you know, these people who are playing a role-playing game but they don't quite realize it's a role-playing game. They're kind of half aware that they're playing characters and it's really, really funny and it's packed full of like little nerdy in jokes or references to lots of geek culture kind of things, you know, X-Files and Dungeons and Dragons, obviously, and all sorts. It's brilliant. There's, you know, a council of wizards with names that are not a million miles away from certain famous literary wizards. it's brilliant. It's so funny and I'm really enjoying that. So yeah, that's about it really that has been happening this week, because it's been a pretty dull week. I've been doing some edits on my Hidden City book and I've revealed the cover to my patrons and my review team, and that will be getting revealed on my social media when I feel like it. I don't have a timetable for this one, so yeah, that's about it for me. How about you?
Yeah, I know what you mean about like revealing book covers when you feel like it. I've been promising my patrons the cover of my next world building guide for like a few weeks now. Yeah, it'll go up when I feel like it. So this feels like it's been going on for years actually, the edits of my Silkwash novel. So I sent them off to my editor at the end of January, and he read through it as a reader and gave me feedback on the plot, sort of like as a reader, you know, from a reader's perspective. So not an edit, just a basically like a beta reader. And I have spent, honestly, it feels like years, hugely changing the plot, completely changing the ending. And I know it's going to be better for it, but I finally finished those edits and sent it back to him. So now it's going to go through a proper edit with him. And oh my God, I'm just so bloody glad to get it out of my hands again. Like, I'm at that stage where, like, I never want to see that book again. And then I know that in a couple of weeks it will come back again with his editor's edits on it. And yeah, I just want to die right now. But anyway, I just hate editing, you know. And yeah, talking of like happy post and things arriving in the mail, because let's face it, that's pretty much what our lives have become now. Yeah. Our lives are so boring. Yeah, so it's great excitement at my house the other day when I received two huge roller banners that I'd ordered. I've never owned roller banners before, and they're like 2 meters tall. They are huge. And two of those came. So all of a sudden my living room looked like some sort of conference or convention space. But they are beautiful. I'm very pleased with them. So now I honestly want to take a break. I really feel like I need a break and I want to take a massive break, but I have so much stuff that I need to do. And I'm kind of like, I don't have time to schedule in a break. I don't know.
Yeah. You know,
like I kind of feel like if I could just go and spend a whole afternoon in a coffee shop or something, I'd be okay. Like that would be enough for me, but I can't even do that. I don't know. I really feel like I need a break, but oh my God, there is just so much to be done. And I'm one of those people, I can't take a break and just put it out of my mind. You know, I will be sitting there trying to take a break, but really I'll be like composing emails in my head or like, like plotting books or like thinking over all the things I should be doing. Is that just us authors in general, or is that like self-employed people in general?
I think it's quite common to most self-employed people. Yeah.
Oh, it sucks.
I need a break. I'm taking next week off and just breaking this to you on the podcast as we record. Andy's taking the week off work and I'm taking the week off because we're both so burnt out and fried, and we just need to spend some quality time with the kids and just hang out. So we're having a staycation. I hate that word, just saying, but unfortunately it's the most useful and applicable word in this situation, because obviously it's illegal to go anywhere. So we're staying home, but we're gonna play games and watch movies and just hang out for a few days. So I can't wait.
Maybe I just have like an ice cream break and like have a week where I just eat ice cream and nothing else.
Yeah,
that sounds good.
Like a plan.
Yeah. Anyway.
Last week for our question of the week, I asked you, do you read your reviews? And we had some lovely responses on our Instagram. TR Slough says, I once got a 2-star review where the person said they wanted to see what happened next, but the trauma of 2020 made it too triggering for them to enjoy the book. I was torn between laughing and crying. For all other reviews, I tried to take the constructive criticism from them, or I read them to pick me up when I'm feeling down on my writing. MA Savage says, yes, she reads her reviews, especially when having a bad day. I remind myself people love my work enough to want more, so I use it as motivation. What else? Melinda Wrights says she finds it helpful and it's interesting to see what readers like and dislike. And I don't know this person's real name, but FFS Media said, in my experience, 5 minutes of reading reviews is a one-to-one adrenaline substitute for riding roller coasters for 5 hours straight. Same crash at the end. So thank you all for your responses. It was really interesting to get some different points of view on that topic.
Awesome. And this week, obviously, we want to know if you do pre-orders on your books or if maybe you plan to do them. So we've got no new patrons this week, but a huge thank you to all of our current patrons. Your support means the absolute world to us. Patrons get early access to episodes, exclusive behind the scenes access to our off-air banter, as well as the warm, fuzzy feeling of supporting the podcast. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so for just £3 a month at patreon.com/unstoppableauthors.
Also, if there is anything extra that you would like to see on our Patreon, then do please let us know, because we would, you know, really love some feedback on that. And if you would like to support the show in another way, you can share it on social media. Grab a screenshot, share it directly from your podcast platform, or take a selfie with it. Just remember to tag us so that we can share it too. It means so much to hear from our listeners and to know that you enjoy the show.
Absolutely. So on to our main topic for today. And yes, we are doing a big episode on pre-orders. And I must say, having read through the script, Holly did all the legwork for this script and all the checking of everything. And I realized I knew very little about the absolute ins and outs of pre-orders. So I'm going to learn a lot. This episode, there were actually things that when I read what she had written, I was like, really? And I fact checked and she was right. I was like, blimey, I never knew that. So yeah, this is gonna be interesting. Yeah. Now I'm a pre-order person. I put all of my ebooks up for pre-order. Largely because, for one thing, I feel it kind of takes the pressure off release day for me a little bit. I'm such a scatterbrain that I really fear that I would get to release day and then go to bed in the evening and lie down in my bed and go, oh crap, I never actually made my book live. That's something I can 100% imagine myself doing. So that's one reason I do pre-orders. And the other reason that I do them is because you can actually guarantee the day that your book is going to come out. Because if you go and just hit publish on a book on Amazon, it can take up to 72 hours. And I have had books take up to 72 hours to go live. So I like to be able to say to people, right, my book is coming out on this date, mm-hmm. and knowing for certain that it absolutely will. So that's why I do pre-orders. Where do you stand, Holly? Do you do them?
Yeah, I have with some books. I don't think I have with all of them. I did my rapid release relaunches last year, I did use pre-orders because that was a big part of my strategy. But I have to say, I've never like had a great deal of pre-orders. I don't know if I'm just not hitting the right readers, or I don't know. I do still always tend to get far more sales on release day than I get pre-orders, but you know, it's something to work on, I think, and work on ways to promote pre-orders, which we will talk about a little bit in this episode.
Yep, absolutely. So we will kick off with all the good things. Like, yes. Why would you do a pre-order? What's the benefits of doing a pre-order? So they're good for hitting all of those lists, if you're lucky enough. That's what we all aim for, of course. So all the pre-orders count towards those bestseller lists, like New York Times, USA Today, blah, 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 all of those. Any extra orders you can get, brilliant.
Yeah, and in order to hit the list, and that could be a whole episode in itself, so we won't go into it massively, but you need a really strong promotional strategy for that. So you would need to really promote that pre-order very heavily. But you know, that is how you do it. And most of the authors I know who've done this have done it as part of an anthology. So they've all, you know, they've grouped together and, you know, all hit their mailing lists and, you know, really combined marketing efforts. And that seems to be these days the best strategy for hitting one of the big lists. But yes, all the pre-orders do count. They are cumulative. And so then, you know, come release day, you've already had however many thousands of sales and you go sailing to the top of that list on release day. So that's the idea. So if that's important to you, if you want to be able to splash, you know, New York Times bestseller or USA Today bestseller all over the cover of all your books in future, then that's how you do it. Yeah.
And yeah, general stats and book rank on all the stores. So on some of the stores, and it's really important to note this, on some of the stores, pre-orders, the ranking boost that you get for a pre-order is piled onto the release day ranking. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. So all of your pre-orders get added into release day, and that gives you this huge release day ranking boost. Whoop, up you go. But not on Amazon. Okay. No. So it's really handy to know on Amazon, your pre-order, the increase in your book rank counts on the day that that pre-order is made, mm-hmm. not on your release day. So, yeah. But that means that you can be building up your book rank before your book even releases. So,
yeah. And that's how, if you've ever wondered, you know, if you've been looking at like your comp titles, for instance, and you see there's a book that's at number one, it's not even out yet, it's on pre-order, but it's already, you know, ranking at number one in your category. That's how, it's because those sales count already.
Yeah.
They're not being saved up and banked for release day. They count immediately.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've already mentioned it, having a definite release date. You can't guarantee a release date without your pre-order on Amazon, because it can take up to 72 hours. Mm-hmm. And, you know, more often than not, it will happen within a few hours, but, and particularly over the last year, it can be delayed up to 72 hours, or as people have found within the last year, sometimes there's a problem and it's even longer than that. So,
yeah. And if you're using an aggregator like Draft2Digital or Smashwords, you really, like, it can take days and days and days for it to, populate out to all of the retailers that they are, you know, distributing to. So, yeah, it's for both Amazon exclusive and wide sales. If you want a guaranteed release date, which, you know, not everyone's bothered. If you're not particularly doing a launch, then maybe it doesn't matter to you. But if you are planning a launch with live events and giveaways and a big fanfare, then you want to know that that release day means something and that your book will be available when you're doing all this promotion. So another benefit is that you can start running Amazon ads and you can test your copy, which is the text that you put with your ad, and keywords, and start. I mean, you do need to be careful because it's quite hard to profit from ads on pre-orders, but they can be a good testing ground to, so keep your budget low and tinker, and then you will, you will then know what to use on release day and to really throw your money at.
Yeah, absolutely. Pre-orders are good for building bit of buzz. You know, you have somewhere that you can send readers to, you know, you have a link that you can send them when you talk about your upcoming release, and of course hopefully grab that sale, because I mean I've had it happen. I've listened to authors like on podcasts or seen them online with books coming soon, and I'm like, oh wow, that looks really good, and if there's no pre-order, then it's so easy to forget. You know, you see so many of these, you're not always going to remember to go back on release day and buy that book. So it just gives you somewhere to send readers and grab that grab that buy while they're thinking about it, while you're fresh in their mind.
Yeah. And on a similar note, if you have a series, it's a good idea to have subsequent books available for pre-order so that you can put a link in the back of the previous books. So as I mentioned, my rapid release, how pre-orders were part of my strategy, the first book had a link in it to pre-order the second one. And when the second one went live, that had a link in it to pre-order the third one, and so on. Because it's you're grabbing the reader while they're engaged. They get to the end of the book and they're like, I want more. Straight away, they can go and pre-order it and have it delivered onto their e-reader as soon as possible.
Yeah, grab them while they're feeling impulsive.
Yes, exactly. No, while they're invested. While they're invested in your story.
Yes, that's a better word.
Yeah. Okay, there are some pre-order specific promo opportunities. For instance, Apple Books will allow, they have a specific promo code that you can request, and you can use that for your ARC readers or to give away as prizes and so on. And you can use them on pre-orders as long as your final files are uploaded. And there is information on the Draft to Digital blog about that. We will leave a link in the show notes. But there are, you know, Book Funnel, you will sometimes see pre-order promos and so on. So it just opens up some other promotional opportunities for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, it's always great to have something different, isn't it? Mm. With promo, you know, it's nice to have something different to do.
Yeah.
If you are releasing an audiobook as well as an ebook and a paperback, then you need your ebook to be in Amazon's system in order to initiate the audiobook production with ACX. So a pre-order post for your book on Amazon is enough for you to be able to do that production with ACX. So that's a fantastic reason for a pre-order, isn't it?
Yes. I think it's the same with Findaway Voices through Draft Digital. I'm actually just going to check, but I think it's the same. I think you have to have the book set up already and to be able to start the audiobook production.
Yeah, so if that's part of your strategy to be releasing all three different versions of your book, then yeah, you're going to need a pre-order. And yep. I mean, you don't even have to promote it. If you don't want to do a big like, oh, look, I've got a pre-order thing, you can just set it up quietly. You don't have to hugely promote it to everyone. So on to like all the technical bits, all the nitty gritty and the little bits about it. So you can do ebook pre-orders at, of course, Amazon, Kobo, Apple, Barnes and Noble, and via loads of the little stores through aggregators such as Draft to Digital. Now, not all of the ebook stores do accept pre-orders, but if you access all of those smaller stores through your various aggregators, then you don't need to do anything extra on release day. Your ebook will simply get passed to them to go onto their site on release day. But like we've already said, yeah, some of the smaller stores, that they can take days. I've even had books take weeks,
yeah,
on a few of the stores.
I was just gonna say Draft to Digital are always revising who they partner with, and I know they yes. have dropped some partners recently because of how long it was taking. I don't want to say in case I get it wrong.
I've got in my mind who I think it was most recently, but yeah, I wouldn't be 100%, so I wouldn't say it out loud. I'm unfortunately, it was one of the stores that I do actually sell quite well at.
Oh, no.
I was like, I mean, obviously I could go direct, but it's not enough money for me to bother, to be honest. But Draft to Digital are constantly changing who they partner with, because they trialed doing Google books for a while, and then but it didn't work out. So So draft to digital cannot aggregate pre-orders to Amazon, but we hugely recommend that you go direct with Amazon anyway.
Yeah.
I personally, just because I do, purely no much more reason than that, I go direct to Amazon. I publish direct on Kobo, and then I use Draft Digital for everything else. I may start possibly going direct with Apple, but honestly, it's a time thing.
Mm.
It really is. Aggregators are so easy, and you know, for that ease, for me, it's worth the cut that they take from the royalties. So I'm quite happy. But yeah, we always recommend that you go directly with Amazon. There's not really much reason not to, I don't think.
No. Okay, so your final files need to be on KDP by 72 hours before release day. Now they do put a countdown on your dashboard, and they will email you reminders even if your final files are already in place. They don't know that, so they will keep emailing you going, make sure you've
It's really scary. It scares me every time I get that email. I'm like, oh my god, no, they are in place.
I've done it. Chill.
Oh, it panics me every time.
Yeah. And then when that clock runs out, they will stop you from being able to make any edits. So while it's, you know, kind of populating across all the
hands up, anyone who's discovered major problems with their file after they have their pre-order has been locked, that would be me. Did I learn the first time I did it? Did I? No. I've done that twice. I have had two pre-orders go out to the people who pre-ordered it with massive errors.
Oh no.
Oh, twice. I promise I've learnt my lesson this time. We'll see. Ask me again in a couple of years.
Yeah.
So yeah, you get 72 hours on KDP before they lock down your pre-order. With the aggregators, it's about 10 days before the launch date of your book, because obviously they have to get those files over to a lot of different stores. And if there are problems with it, it's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing.
Yeah.
So yeah, be aware of that. Honestly, what I do is I never put my pre-order on with Draft to Digital until I've got the final file. I don't know why I do that. I just do. I'm happy to put a interim file up on Amazon, but I never have on Draft Digital. Don't ask me why.
No, I can understand that, because you know it's going out to a lot of different retailers, and there's something a bit intimidating that the wrong file could go out to a dozen different retailers, and
yeah, that noise is the reason I don't do it.
Yeah. Now then, something else to be aware of, specific to German Amazon, so amazon.de, and this is, it's just one of those fiddly things. They have a fixed price law in Germany. So this is a direct quote from Amazon. Their advice is, pre-order books listed on Amazon.de are subject to the German fixed book price law. If you increase the price during the pre-order period, all prior orders are cancelled. We'll notify customers who bought your book about the new price and provide details for how they can buy the book again. So always check Amazon's help, which again, we will link to in our show notes. This sort of thing is always changing, but it's a good idea to try to be aware of what may be the case in different countries, because not all readers are in America or the UK. Funnily enough, there are readers all over the world, and there are different rules, different laws. So
And Amazon, German Amazon, is definitely where I sell. It's where I sell most books to a non-English speaking country.
Mm.
Germany. Yeah.
Yeah. Germany and France are about equal for me, but yeah, it's and they're not translations, that's English language books. But yeah, so yeah, it's a big market, and you know, Germany is one of the few places you can do ads with Amazon as well. Yeah. So it's definitely a big market and an emerging market. Like,
and I did not know that about German pre-orders. So there you go.
So yeah, so just be aware, don't change your price, basically. Like, decide on a pricing strategy and stick with it. That's
because if those people have got to go back and rebuy your book, let's face it, a lot of them won't.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so another little niggly thing to be aware of is you cannot do a paperback pre-order with KDP Amazon. No one knows why. I mean, it's one of those great mysteries of the self-publishing industry. And as far as I'm aware, there are no plans for Amazon.
But please, Amazon.
I've never understood
paperback pre-orders.
It's a mystery. So if you want to do paperback pre-orders, you will need to use Ingram Spark, and you can distribute them to Amazon. So when you set up your book on Ingram Spark, it will, once it's live, it will appear as a pre-order on Amazon without you really having to do anything. The thing to be aware of is if you are using both KDP and Ingram, so when you are, you know, you can still set up your print book on KDP, you just can't, it won't go live until release day. You must turn off expanded distribution on Amazon if you are also doing print with Ingram Spark. There are issues, aren't there always, with Ingram Spark. And we did cover that in episode 75. We also went into a bit more dishing of the tea on our Patreon. So if you would like to sign up to our Patreon and get all the dirt, you can do that. But there are more recent issues, and I know some of our author friends are turning away from Ingram because of them. So yeah, do your research, decide whether you want to go down that avenue or not. But yeah, if you want to do paperback pre-orders, you can't on KDP, you will have to use Ingram Spark.
So. Yep. So what happens if everything goes horribly wrong and you want to amend your pre-order date? So if you want to move it back, so if you want to delay your pre-order, this is very important. Listen carefully, because I was not aware of just how strict this was. So if you want to delay your pre-order, Amazon only allows you to do this once ever across your entire book catalog. So I thought that you could delay a pre-order once per book, but no, it is once per your entire catalog. Mm-hmm. So be very aware of that. Of course, sometimes you might decide, oh, actually the book's ready earlier than I thought, I'm going to move it forward, which you can do. You absolutely can do. People will simply get their book earlier. Mm-hmm. Everyone's a winner, surely. Well, just remember that some people may have pre-ordered your book because they're budgeting, they're on a tight budget, and they know that they will have the money for your book on release day, which is when they get charged for it on pre-order. So if you bring it forward, that kind of mucks up their whole budgeting. So just be aware of that. But you can move your pre-order forward, make it earlier without any ramifications from Amazon at all. They're quite happy for you to do that.
Yeah. Now, if you've decided to enroll your book in Kindle Unlimited and be exclusive to Amazon, your KU term only starts on release day. So because it's a 90-day term, I know there may be some confusion. You know, if your book is available for pre-order, you know, does that mean your 90 days term starts from then. No, it starts on release day. So your book will not be available to KU readers until release day. And from then it's in KU for a minimum of 90 days. And you also cannot do the KU specific promotions, the countdown and free promotions. You can't do those on a pre-order. You can schedule them in advance for after release day. So if you want to do like a, you know, a big, you know, a discount for the launch, you can set that up to start on release day from then on.
That is a lot of information. We always said this was going to be a complex episode on pre-orders, didn't we?
Yeah. So, and we're not done yet.
No, we're not. Now we are going to cover the bad bits of pre-orders, why you might not want to do pre-orders, because some people love them, some people hate them, you know. So this is, you've got to decide for yourself. No one else can tell you whether it's right for you or not. So obviously, the doing a pre-order might dilute your sales on launch day. We've already said that on Amazon, the book rank increase counts on the day the pre-order is bought, not on release day.
Mm-hmm.
So like sequels in the series might not be as visible as the release books are. So yeah, that's a reason why you might not want to do them if you don't want to spread your book rank increase out over the pre-order period.
Yeah, and David Gochrane has done a really comprehensive video on this topic, and again we will link that in our show notes. You will want to visit our show notes for this one. There's been, we're sorting you out with all the links to all the info, guys.
And well, I can attest to this one. Things going wrong at the last minute. So in the past year particularly, we know so many authors who have had like massive tech issues, with both Amazon and Ingram Spark, and books that were meant to be released on a certain date have been delayed by sometimes weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Because of it. and you know, of course, the wrong file going out. I do know authors who have actually uploaded the correct file in plenty of time, but Amazon has somehow messed up and sent out an earlier file, an unproofed file that they just had up to set up the pre-order, which I don't think you have to do anymore.
No, this is what I was gonna add to this is, it used to be that you had to upload something, and so, you know, I would use a first draft or even a blank document, you know, like because just anything,
because it put up on the page how many pages your Kindle ebook was. So yes, you could have just put up like a title page, but then it would have been in your book details that it's only one page long. So yeah, that's what I used to do. Like the first draft I would upload. But yeah, you don't have to have a file.
No.
You can set up your pre-order without any file at all now. Which is good.
A recent change.
That's better.
Yeah. And it's the same on Draft to Digital. And in fact, on Draft to Digital, you don't even need a cover. You don't need anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, can be handy for like series, I think, just to have somewhere to send your readers. Or, I mean, you can always upload, again, a temporary cover, one that isn't going to be the final one. But
yeah.
So, yeah, that's something to always be aware of, that there can be last minute problems and tech issues and.
Yeah, although I do think in the grand scheme, these things are quite rare. It's just obviously we always hear about them because, you know, they really bother the author. So they go on social media and go, oh, my God, everything's gone.
No one jumps on social media to go say, oh, well, my launch went quite smoothly. Oh, no problems. I was moderately pleased with with how it went.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we talked about the penalties for delaying a launch, a pre-order, sorry. Well, those penalties are quite severe. So if you miss a pre-order date, i.e. you don't get your files up in time, or you move a pre-order for the second time, or you cancel a release altogether, Amazon will lock you out of doing pre-orders for an entire year.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. So don't miss your date, don't move your date, basically. Yeah. If you're going to do pre-orders, be committed. Yeah.
I mean, it's not the absolute end of the world to lose the ability to do pre-orders for a whole year. You can still upload books.
Yes.
You just can't do pre-orders. But I'd actually really, really hate that to happen to me.
Yeah. You know, if you're rapid releasing and planning a whole series and you have a pre-launch strategy, it would be pretty catastrophic to then not be able to do that. Yeah. So,
absolutely. So be good. Be careful.
Yep.
And I mean, the other con of pre-orders might be that deadlines, just they might put too much pressure on you. You know, think like with my current book, you know, it's had an extra editing pass that I wasn't expecting to do, and that may well interfere with my release date, which is why I haven't yet put up a pre-order. Normally by this point I would have it on pre-order, but sensibly, thank goodness, I haven't set up my pre-order yet.
Yeah, same. I'm planning a launch, like I haven't even fixed a date in my mind. It's just March, probably. I'm just, with how this year is going, I'm really hesitant to put a specific date on it. So I haven't set that up for pre-launch, pre-order, because I don't know. I can't guarantee it'll be ready.
Yeah, because we're always going on about, like, oh, it's so great being an indie because everything's so flexible. You can always move your deadlines if you need to. Not if you've set up a pre-order, though.
No.
You are locked in. So if there is any chance that anything might go wrong, or you find deadlines like that way too stressful, then, but I mean, you can always just have a very short pre-order. You can set up a pre-order now on Amazon for a year in advance. It can be a whole year long, but equally you can do a pre-order for 2 days.
Yeah,
you know, you can do just a few days, you could do a week, you know. So if you think the pressure of a deadline like that is, like a very strict deadline, is too much, then yeah, absolutely, wait until you've got all the final files, upload them, put it on a very short pre-order, and then you've still got your guaranteed release date if that's what is important to you.
Yeah. So the other thing, it just might not fit your business model. So, you know, if you are a very quick writer and you rapid release, then there may not be a need for you know, like when we were talking about having somewhere to send your readers, you know, I'm thinking of, like, you know, people like myself and, you know, other people, really notably Jenna Maresi, who, you know, she has very long pre-orders on her books, and it gives her somewhere to send readers while she's talking about a book for a year before publishing it. And, you know, she's building that buzz and that hype and sending people to her pre-orders. And that's definitely something I've done in the past. But if you're releasing a book every 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, that's not really a thing you need to do. The releases themselves are the buzz. So if that's your business model, it may not be worth the risk of things going wrong, or just the hassle. And if you don't really do launches, if you're just chuck it up into the world and then move on to the next thing, then again, pre-order might not really fit with that picture. So yeah, and it's not really a con to it exactly, it's just another thing to consider.
Yeah, pre-orders may or may not be for you.
Yeah. So we have just majorly info dumped on you.
That was like a massive info dump.
We will put all of this in the show notes and all the links for you to digest in your own time. But we really hope it's been helpful and that it's given you some idea of whether you want to do pre-orders or not and how to do them effectively.
Hopefully, yes. Hopefully you're not too overwhelmed. I feel a little overwhelmed by that, I must admit. So while we are feeling overwhelmed, let's go into a very, very silly would you rather question,
mm-hmm.
Which incidentally, just by pure coincidence, has become related to something we said earlier. So, so Holly, would you rather go away on holiday and find that you have forgotten to pack any underwear at all, or go on holiday and discover that you have packed no shoes at all?
Well, I would presumably be wearing the shoes that I was wearing.
You know, maybe you went in your slippers. Maybe you traveled in slippers.
I would rather have not packed shoes because I love buying shoes. I'm quite happy when I'm buying shoes. So I would go out and buy some shoes on the first day. But underwear, I'm quite particular about my underwear, and I'm sorry, I'm totally boring and this is TMI and everything, but I always get the same underwear from the same place, and it's like, if I can't do that, no thank you.
See, that's quite a good point. Underwear is one of those things where you're very particular, whereas if you're on holiday you could just go anywhere and just buy a cheapy pair of like flip-flops and you know, yeah. You're right. Unless you were on holiday in like Lapland, we're just assuming somewhere sunny. Then, see, if you got to like somewhere really cold and snowy, you know, like if you've gone to like North Alaska or something.
Yeah, somewhere where there's have any, yeah. No shops and no Amazon deliveries. No,
yes,
no.
That would be a different matter. I'm kind of thinking that like if you went out without any underwear on, you can hide the fact that you haven't got any underwear on.
True.
Whereas you can't really hide the fact that you haven't got any shoes. I'm a funny one with shoes. You see, as in like you never see me in bare feet. That just like doesn't happen, or flip-flops or anything like that. You know, and shoes are more expensive. I could probably get away with, I could probably live for a week in just some cheapy, crappy underwear that I just picked up. Whereas shoes, you would be spending a lot more money. Plus I have massive feet. I have huge feet, so I'd probably end up in some really ugly men's shoes. I wouldn't like that.
No. Anyway, so just a reminder of our question of the week. Do you do pre-orders on your books, or do you plan to do them? Please let us know on our social media.
And remember that if you want to hear all the backstage stuff and get all of the other benefits, you can join us over at patreon.com/unstoppableauthors.
And please don't forget to share the podcast online and tag us on social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter. Just search for Unstoppable Authors.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Unstoppable Authors podcast. We'll be back next week with more of our tenacity and worldly wisdom.
Don't forget to visit our website to get the show notes and heaps of helpful blog articles at unstoppableauthors.com.
And join our Guild of Unstoppable Authors, and you will not only hear from us every week, but you will also get a free digital copy of my book, 30 Days of Worldbuilding.
If you enjoyed the episode, please remember to subscribe and leave a review.
Oh, that was a mammoth. I'm exhausted now.